My name is Ed, and I'm tickled to be here. I am a spiritual son of God first, and a Ron Fess close second. So thank you for. I thank the Lord for allowing the Fesses, Ron and Lisa, to be in my life and to be in our life. I am a child of the Most High God, and this year I've been reborn 20 years, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm 51, and so at 31 years old, the Lord, I heard Him call. I found out you don't seek God; God hunts you, and He's a relentless alpha wolf. Okay, He will hunt you, and when He finds you, He doesn't rip you limb for limb. Maybe temporarily, so that He can get your attention, but. He is the God who will seek after us at every turn. I am a husband of Cheryl for 32 years. I am a father of two daughters and a son-in-law. I'm a grandfather of three daughters, three granddaughters. One, the newest one, just this past Monday. So now we have a leap baby in our midst. So we'll see how that goes. Ariana is the youngest. Denijah is the middle, and Brinley is the middle, or is the oldest. And we've got Grace is the middle name, Mercy, and we have Faith as the middle name. So I'm blessed beyond belief. I am a church planter with the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination, and we planted New Life a few years ago. We were in an old school building. I think the first time I was ever here, I think you guys were in a school building somewhere. I don't remember. I am a country mouse. So I just got, when I get into Rochester, it feels very much like city to me. And I get a little nervous when I get off of where there's, you know, grass right up next to the edges of the road. So I definitely am a country mouse. And, you know, the old book of the country mouse and the city mouse. And I definitely am a country mouse. I did not bring my lunch, you know, but I am a Bills fan, so it's kind of good to be close to Buffalo. You know, it's hard to be a Bills fan in southern Pennsylvania. You know, the Steeler guys, they kind of run over things down there. So I have a good time being a Bills fan in Steeler country, especially if the Steelers are not winning. Then I really have a great time with the Steeler fans around me. They always told me I could be whatever I wanted, but I could not preach it from the pulpit, other than if I was a Steelers fan, then they would allow me to bring that. But New Life is exciting. We have many, many, many new believers. Probably, I'd say close to 70% of our body of maybe 250 or 300 people. Maybe 70% are less than 5 years old, 6 years old in the Lord, and some are as new as a couple weeks ago. So, and it just I was telling Lisa, I received one of Ron's Bibles, his passing at his home going, and it has his initials on it, and it's a recovery Bible, and one of the young men that just came to know this is all. Free. I haven't even got to the notes yet, okay? So the young man that came into my living room to come to men's group, he has known the Lord now for 2 weeks. He's coming out of the addiction. He doesn't have a Bible. And he walked across our living room. We have a crate of Bibles there. And he reached down and he already knows that there's a Bible there just to come in and grab a Bible and be ready. And so he come across the living room and he reached into the crate and he pulled a Bible out. And it was one of Ron's Bibles. And he walked back to his seat. And I just wanted, and I will tell him repeatedly, do you know what you've got a hold of? And do you know what that'll do in your life if you let it? With the promises of God, I just read in the Corinthians, they're yes and amen. How about it? They're yes and amen. God's promises are always yes and amen. Yes and let it be. Yes and let it be. God never says no on one of his promises. And it just so... I'm experiencing that in my walk with the Lord in the last 20 years. The Lord is, I believe that the Lord has promised me 31 years beyond my salvation, so I think I'll live at least to 62, because I want to serve the Lord one day longer than I serve myself. And that's my goal on this earth, is to at least be 31 years in service. So I've got 11 more years, at least 11 more years. I'm sure as I can be that I will not leave this earth for 11 more years at least. And so My wife may be good with that or not. I don't know. But I think that the Lord has promised me that. I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm excited to be here tonight. I am the country mouse. And back on the farm, back in the farm days, we used to do a lot of harvesting. And we would harvest corn, and we would harvest small grains, and we would harvest hay. We spent the whole spring planting and a whole summer and fall harvesting, and the whole winter feeding it to the cows. And when we would harvest things, we would put them in their right places. We would put the hay in the hay mow. We would put the silage in the silo. And we would put the straw in the straw mound. We would put the corn in the corn crib. And we'd put the grain in the grain bin. And we would put the feed in the feed sacks. Everything that was, it had a design to be filled with something, we filled it with that. And it's the same as true today. We put gas in our gas tank, and we put coffee in our coffee cups. Yeah. Do you ever drink, after like 3 or 4 cups of coffee in the morning, you ever go by the water spigot and you kind of draw water and you drink it? It's not right. It's just not right to drink water out of a coffee cup. It just doesn't feel right to my mouth. It's like weird. It's meant to have coffee in it. And we put jelly in jelly jars, and we put toothpaste in toothpaste containers. Aren't you glad that when you go to a toothpaste container that it has it has toothpaste in it? Hopefully, right? Because if it doesn't have toothpaste in it, then how do you know? Aren't you glad you don't have to wonder if this is filled with shampoo? I mean, truthfully, I mean, wouldn't you have to check it every morning to know if it's filled with toothpaste or not? And I found out that guess what they put in this container?
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
I know him. I've been to hunt camp with him before. Yeah. I know. I find it interesting that this has honey in it. A honey container holds honey. Toothpaste containers hold toothpaste. Silos hold silage. Hay mows hold hay. Gas tanks hold gas. And I find it very interesting that everything, and my wife is going to try to run the PowerPoint. Maybe. I can't, just so you know, there it is. Just so you know, I can't chew gum and walk. I've told my wife many times, I said, you're spaghetti, honey. You can think about 1,000 things all woven together. I'm a waffle. I have one square. A square at a time. I can switch squares, kind of like syrup switches squares, but I'm a square. She's a waffle. She can think about, we can go down the road and she can make this statement. I said, where did that come from? And she'll have this whole backstory of how she got to that one statement. I'm always amazed that she can do that. And so she's running the PowerPoint for me tonight because I can't. Because I can't preach and run the PowerPoint. I can do one or the other. I can't do it. He's doing it. The dude in the back's doing it. So we're going to get here tonight. The gas tank is full. Push the button. And I say this in New Life a lot. Each thing is filled with what it's designed to be filled with. Each thing is designed what it's designed to be filled with. Am I doing something wrong? She just told me I had a screw loose. That's what she said. I heard her. Wow, New Yorkers, you're a tough crowd. I thought the Steeler fans were bad. That's right. So thank you. I got my screws tightened. I got somebody running the PowerPoint now. And the statement that I want to really hone in on is each thing is filled with what it is designed to be filled with. And it makes a difference if it's filled with what it's designed to be filled with. Push the button, please. How about Christians? What are we designed to be filled with? The suffix I-A-N means belong to or resembling. Belonging to or resembling Christ. We are belonging to or resembling, and I don't think you're going to be resembling Christ unless you belong to Christ. So those who live in Christ will resemble Christ. So I think that Christians should be resembling Christ. And they have to belong to Christ before they can resemble Christ. And so as a Christian, I know it's overused in our society. It's overused. The word Christian, I almost can just cringe at using it anymore because it's kind of this term that's kind of lost its teeth in our society. But truly to be a Christian, you have to belong to Christ and then you resemble Him. So I ask again, what are we designed, what are Christians designed to be filled with? The scriptures are clear on that. Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine. Push the button one more time. So apparently, we can be filled with something other than what we're designed to be filled with. We can be filled with soap. We can be filled with something other than what God wants us to be filled with. He said, don't be filled with something that you're not designed to be filled with. You're designed to be filled with something. Push the button one more time. The top contenders of what we're at risk of being filled with, I think, first and foremost, might be fear. Listen, you're not designed to be filled with fear. You don't look good filled with fear. In this world, and the enemy, and the things in your life will want to fill you with fear. And you don't look good filled with unforgiveness. It's going to turn you into something that you don't want to be and that you're not designed to be. That those who resemble Christ cannot resemble Christ if they're filled with unforgiveness, if they're filled with greed or anger. The Bible calls it enraged. When you're filled with anger, you begin to act out in anger. And then I think that Ephesians 5:18 is very clear. Don't get drunk with anything. He uses wine. Don't get drunk with wine. That takes over your mind. Back in my binge drinking days. Oh baby, you drink enough wine. You drink enough alcohol. All of a sudden you start acting like Bud Dumber. I don't know why they call it Budweiser. Because it doesn't make you wiser, it makes you dumber. It changes you. Fear changes you. Unforgiveness changes you. Greed changes you. Lust changes you. Anger changes you. Hate changes you. Apathy changes us. We are not supposed to be filled with apathy. I don't care mindset. As believers in Christ, we're not to be filled with that. It's not to take control. A hopelessness that has the ability to guide us from the inside out. If this is supposed to be filled with honey, and it's on the shelf at Walmart as honey, and it's got something else in it, they recall it. Because it's dangerous when it's filled with something other than what it's supposed to be filled with. So are we. As the church, we are dangerous when we're filled with something other than what we are designed to be filled with. This world needs the church to be filled with what it's designed to be filled with. We don't need a recall. I think here, this night, when you gather, you are in the most powerful moment of your whole week. You're gathered with the body of Christ. The internet reception is out of this world in this room. The Wi-Fi is off the charts. Because God wants to speak to us. He wants us to be filled with what we're designed to be filled with. Earlier in the letter of Ephesians, it says this. So that in 3:19, instead be filled with the Spirit. And I ask the question, what does that mean? How do I do that? And we know that that word in the Greek can be being filled, right? Be being filled. It's not a once and done thing. It's a be being filled. You leak. You burn it up. I filled my car in southern Pennsylvania. I filled it again in northern Pennsylvania. Why? I can't even fathom why I would need to fill it again. Because I used it up. Because it run out. Because I give it to somebody else. And God says, be being filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? What does it mean? Push the button. Earlier in the letter, he says this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, I think we try to read 5:18 before we read the rest of the letter. And he said, I think being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the fullness of God is the same thing. And he said, I want you to be filled with the fullness of God, to the measure, to the fullness of God. To the measure. Humanity can't hold all of God. But God can fill all of us. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't you glad? Just aren't you glad that you can't hold all of God? Wouldn't that screw with your mind a little bit if you say, well, I got all of God. But you can be filled to the full measure. So stop complaining. Really, just let me be honest. And you don't have to ever write me back. See, I can be kind of bold because I don't have to come next week. I don't know if you're a small tube of toothpaste or you're a big tube of toothpaste. If you're full, you're full, baby. If God wants to grow your tube, He'll grow your tube, okay? Let Him fill what you got. He'll fill it up. I don't care if it's travel size or if it's family size. He'll fill it to the fullest. And He wants to fill you with the fullness of God. Because why? Because that's what you're designed to be filled with. And when you mix it with fear and you mix it with unforgiveness, there's a recall. And God says, I got to bring you back. I got to clean you up. To be filled with the full measure of God. You and I as believers can be filled with God. Our entire capacity filled with God. We cannot be okay. Listen, church, we cannot be okay with a half a tank. Youth in the back row, you can't be okay with a half a tank.
Amen.
At New Life, we have people are putting their feet on the platform. Chairs are jammed right up against the platform. And we have, it's an old gymnasium, old beat up building, tiles falling off the wall. We love it. And all the way to the back, 70 feet away. And I drove a school bus. I know what kind of kids in the back. I'll tell you what, they didn't put that little mirror for the kids to sit in the front. Look at them back here. They're all offended now. Yeah, it's like... Whoo, baby. God wants you to be filled with the fullness of who He is. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I can take you to a 55-year-old that just came to Christ, that he's dealing with a lot of stuff because he walked in his own way for 55 years. Don't waste it, youth. Let God fill you up with who He is and what He wants to do in your life. That being filled, I think, happens through a variety of different ways. I really do. One, stop running from God and get under the spigot. Romans 12:1 says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That means you're not all that in a bag of chips. Get off the top of the funnel and get under the funnel where he can pour into you. Stop running from God. Stop running from God. Stop thumbing your nose at who loves you the most in all of this universe. Come under him and let him fill you up. And I think that happens. I think that happens through embracing the Word of God. There was a 42-year-old guy who was dying of cancer a few years ago, and his friends asked me to go in. We don't think he knows Christ, and he doesn't have very long to live, and would you go in and share the gospel with him? And I was like, yeah, man, you know the gospel? I said, but will you go in and share the gospel? I said, certainly, I'll steal your credit. You know, it's supposed to go in your slash God's storing up the treasures, but I'll take it. So I went in to share with the guy, and he was like, oh, he's dying. He's dying. And I said, listen, Shane, I've got to be honest with you. I'm here because somebody loves you. And they want you to know that God loves you. And we walked and we talked for half an hour. We talked about Christ. We talked about the cross. We talked about sin. We talked this interaction, this give and take. You know what he said to me? Man, that's big stuff. I want you to think about that. I don't want to jump on any wagon just because I'm sick. I said, I'll be back. A few days later, I went back and Shane is hooked up to some tubes and machines and he's sitting up in a chair, but cancer's just eating him from the inside out. And his family's around him. His wife is there. And I walk in the room and he tries to get up. And his family's like, well, Shane, what are you doing? I need to walk with Ed. I say, listen, if you want to talk to the pastor, we'll get out of the room. You can talk to him. So they left the room and I said, what's up, Shane? He said, you know what you and I talked about the other day? And I said, yeah. He said, I did that. I did what? You did what, Shane? I give my heart to Christ. I got one request, he said. Would you mark some stuff in that Bible? Because I want to know about this God who has done this work in me. And I marked some stuff in the Bible. And I got tape sticking out of the Bible because he has no idea where the books of the Bible is. You can't say, go read John 3:16. He doesn't even know where it's at. I said, wait a minute. I want you to read this one passage of scripture. And he started to read it. The tubes coming out of his nose, he could hardly breathe, and he started reading the Word of God. I'd never heard it read so powerfully in all my life. How are you going to be filled with the fullness of God? First and foremost, through his Word. Stop running. Get under his Word. It's yes and amen, and he'll start filling you and be being filled, and he'll fill you and fill you and fill you and fill you. I think it's through participating in Spirit-led worship. I think that's how we're filled with God. Psalm 23 says this. Sorry, dude, we're way behind. There you go. The Lord is my shepherd. You want to all be filled with God? Follow God. It's not, listen. I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. I'm really not. I can understand that. Let me save you $60,000 on a theology degree. Follow God. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what you do? You follow the shepherd. You're behind the shepherd. Don't get in front of it and think you're going to lay out where you want God to go and say, God, why don't you show up over here? That's never where I wanted to go. Why don't you let me lead you? And we're filled through knowing his word. We're filled through inspired worship, spirit-filled worship, where we can get into the presence of God. You know what I love about worship? We're all singing the same thing. I love that when all the voices are proclaiming the same truth at once. In unison, that's heaven. And we're filled with God as we walk with him. And I shall not be in want. Why? Because he's filling you. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's filling you. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Those eddies that were talked about. Is because He's filling you there. He restores my soul. How does He do that? He fills you with Himself. God doesn't send anything. He brings it. You don't get His peace without Him. But you get Him with His peace. You get Him with His love. He said, I want to restore your soul. Let me come in and restore your soul. How are we filled with God? He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Flip the button. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God's filling me all the way through the valley. And I'm learning things about God in that valley that I didn't know even were in God. And without the valley, I wouldn't know them. The blind man knew the power of God because he was blind. He'd have never known the power of God if he'd always had sight. Why was he born blind? Did he mess up? Jesus, did he mess up? Did his parents mess up? No, so that the power of God could be displayed in his life. Because God wanted to fill him with something. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they're comforting me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and he can't do a thing about it. He can't even get ants to go to your picnic because it's God's table. He may bark in your ear, but he can't bite you. Belly up to God's table because he wants to fill you with what's on that table. But without God's table and without bellying up, we're going to need a recall because we're going to be filled with something we're not designed to be filled with. I'm almost through the opener. One thing we don't have in New Life, we don't have a clock in the back. That's right. That's right. That's where I can see it. Right. You. Sorry. God is. That's right. I have screwed up so many. I screwed up my life so many times, and my wife prayed me into the kingdom of God. My daughters were believers in Christ before I was. God's done so many things. I think I want to just have some fun in the presence of God sometimes. That's what I agree. Now, that's from the prophet. I got to go. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You know why? Because he's growing your tube. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why it runs? Oh, why it follows you? Because the cover's off and it's just running out of you. Wherever you go, it's just running out of you. I seen a sign on the back door that says, water only in the sanctuary. So I put the cover back on that. One time at New Life, I handed out peanuts with the shells. I handed out to everybody. Everybody had a bucket of peanuts. 200 plus people had a bucket of peanuts. I said, during this message, you better be cracking peanuts and throwing the shells on the ground because God doesn't want you to leave. He wants you to leave your garbage here and take the good away. And when we got done with that service, it was a good inch deep all over that whole auditorium. And we swept it up. And we took it out, and we lit fire to it, and we offered it up to the Lord. We're living without the shucks. God wants to do a mighty work in our life. He wants to fill us Back to 3:19, I think it's on the screen behind me. It says this, that you may be filled with the full measure of God, the measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, the whole passage, I think brings to light the powerful truth. And I wonder, I'm just going to wonder, and I'm asking the question about shepherd's heart, right? Shepherd's heart. I wonder if the church is active in this portion of being filled up. The preceding verses to 19 say this. It's the church praying for the church. It's the church standing in the gap for the church. God said, I'm going to fill you up as you go through the valley. I'm going to fill you up as you get into the Word. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to fill you up. But I want the church to be active in your life as well. Look what he says. Push the button. The church praying for the church. Push it one more. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. For this reason. And Paul, in the preceding chapters and the verses of Ephesians, he makes this argument for this reason. I want you to know I'm going to be asking this church to be praying for this church individually, that you will be filled with the fullness of God. I'm going to ask you to pray for you, praying for her, and so forth and so on, to be filled with the fullness of God. Not just waiting to see if it happens, but actually standing in the gap for one another and saying, God, we're going to call down the fullness of God on this individual. And we're going to do it until it happens, God. We're going to pray it all the way through. We're not a microwave. We're a crock pot. We'll cook it to the end. I'm a simpleton. I got to have microwave crock pot terms. I got to know what God means. And I know if my wife can stand on her knees for 10 years, that we can stand in a gap for one another. And ask, that's what Paul's asking for. I want them to be filled with the fullness of God. And he lays it out. He said, for this reason, push the button, for what reason? Because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. How can you pray for one another? Because Christ has made you alive. Because he's given you life. My mom passed away a few years ago. And people come up to the casket and say, oh, she looks so good. I said, she's dead. I really don't care how good she looks. She ain't getting out of that casket. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. I don't care if you're a good person or not. I'm not even going to argue with you. Without Jesus, you're dead. And he came to give you life. Paul said, for that reason, I'm going to do something with that life that he gave me. I'm going to do something with it because they have been entrusted with it. I'm a steward of this life that Christ has given me. For this reason, push the button again. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ. I have been raised up with Christ. I am seated in the heavenlies. For this reason, I'm going to stand in the gap for you. Am I spitting on you? Okay. You have been raised. Listen. I don't care how old you are or where you've been. In Christ, you have been raised up with him. You are seated in the heavenlies. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a young 20. I don't care if you're older than 20. You have been raised up with Christ. What does that do for your like stuff inside? Doesn't this world say you're a nothing, you're a nobody, you don't make enough this, you can't do this, you can't run fast enough, you're not tall enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not pretty enough, your hair doesn't do this, whatever. Just remind them that I have been raised up with Christ. And I don't know if it'll make me beautiful, but it makes me alive. And Paul said, for this reason, I'm going to do something with it. We're on tune now, aren't we, brother? We got it going now. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for me to do. You are crafted by God. And what if this brother is not filled with the fullness of God because this brother should be seeking the kingdom on his behalf? It's not a loner sport. It's a team sport. We need to stop looking down our noses and get shoulder to shoulder with each other. And I made this statement in New Life a few weeks ago. I said, God will rarely fly you over anything, but he'll drive you through everything. And he'll put brothers and sisters next to you. And they'll carry you. If you need to be on the mat and up on the roof and lowered before Jesus, you need four people to do that. You are God's workmanship. I am God's workmanship, created to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for me to do. For this reason, I'm going to do something with that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. I have been brought near. When I first became a believer, I was thinking, man, I got a red tint on me and I think I like it. Because God's seeing me through the blood of Christ. And I've been brought near. I've been brought near. Flip the slide one more time. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I have access to the Father. Therefore, I'm going to do something with it. I am alive in Christ. I have been raised up with Christ. I am God's workmanship. I have been brought near and I have access to the Father. I have top security clearance. You can go into the Holy of Holies. And Paul is in the Holy of Holies on behalf of the brothers and sisters in the church. For this reason, I kneel. I kneel. I did not earn this clearance, but I'm going to take full advantage of it. I'm not walking in and saying, God, certainly you would want me here. Look who I am. I kneel, realizing who I'm standing before, the Father. The Father who spoke. Push the button. Sorry, one more time. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I just shared this with a guy a couple weeks ago. I said, God did not have to say that twice. Did you ever think of that? When our daughters were growing up, I mean, it was like, oh, how many times do I have to say this? And I found out with my dad one time, he did not want a numerical answer. It's like, five more times, Dad. That wasn't a good answer. See, God stood back. Listen, you are before the Father who spoke creation into existence. Because why? Because you have been raised up with Christ. Because you have been given life. Because you have access to the Father. I don't care if you are a teenager in Christ. You are before the Father. You push it back. Let there be light, and there was light. Look at what he says. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne, and you are in his presence. Please do not let that keep you from it, but let that be thankful as you kneel before the Father. And you're not in front of an old washed up God. You are in front of a God who is seated on his heavenly throne, on his holy throne. Push the button. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. You are in the presence of where every good thing happens. And you're going to stand in there on behalf of the sister sitting next to you. That's what Paul's doing. Oh, you're going to get some through the valleys, and you'll get some in your own study, and you'll get some as you walk with God, but you'll get a lot more if you stand in a gap for her and call it down from God. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. We are in the presence of the Almighty God. And we're standing in the gap for one another. Psalm 86, the next slide says, "But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Aren't you glad that's God? Yes. We'd all be toast. Yes. And toast that's been in the toaster way too long. You're in the presence of God who spoke creation into existence. And in perfectness, He is faithful and He is loving. And He says, "Come in. What do you want, child?" Push the button. From the Father to the Son, the lame walked. From the Father to the Son. And guess what? Why was Jesus able to do what He did on this earth? Not because He was God, because He had a perfect relationship with the Father, and the Father was filling Him. Oh, of course Jesus could do that. He was God. We can argue about the hypostatic union. We can have all those theological discussions you want. But He was humanity on this earth, and He operated through the leading of the Spirit because He was filled with the Spirit, and He was in tune with the Father, and the Father was telling Him what to do. You and I can be in the same position. Jesus said, "You will do greater things than I have done." He told us that because He knew you and I could get lined up under the Father. And the Father could fill us. And we could see these things happen in each other's lives. The lame walked. The blind received sight. The dead were raised. The hungry were fed. The lost were found. The wounded were healed. The guilty were forgiven. The broken were restored. The captives were set free. And the favor of the Father was realized. It's no different in 2016. Come on, church. You have been raised up with Christ. You are seated in the heavenlies. You have access to the God who spoke creation into existence. The same Father that Jesus was in relationship with when He was on this earth. We are in the presence of the One who is, who was, and who will always be. Verse 16 says this, I pray that out of His glorious riches, God, I got nothing for this brother or this sister, but God, You got it all. I'm not mustering up my own stuff. I'm in the presence of God. And I'm asking You to do something in this brother or this sister's life. I want You to do something for them. I want You to fill them with the fullness of God. And I pray out of Your glorious riches, out of Your endless supply of mercy, out of Your endless supply of grace, out of Your endless supply of provision, of power, Jehovah Jireh. He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. His divine grace and mercy and power pour directly inside of you. Do you ever wonder how they get that stuff in there? It's like, do you ever squirt it all out and try to get it back in? Try it. You know why? Because I think they put it in from the tail end and they seal it up, don't they? So you see, God said, I got ways to put things in, things that you don't even know about. You're coming out the roof, but I put it in the tail. Because I want to fill you with a fullness in your inner self, in here, because you're not designed to be filled with fear. You're not designed to be filled with that other stuff. You're designed to be filled with Me. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Flip the button. So that Christ, why? Why does He want that? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established And I pray that Christ would dwell, the power, the influence, the guidance that will come from Christ from within. Faith opens up that door between your mind and your heart. That's the greatest distance. Sometimes I think what I think here goes all the way around the universe before it lands in my heart, when really it needs to go just 16 inches. Did you ever think, and listen, you can pray it from somebody's head to their heart. Just let me be pretty bold. Don't tell me you can't, because Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, thought he could. Because I want something to happen. And it's got to marry this and this. It's got to be married together. And I'm not going to leave it to chance or to morph over the course of time. Paul says, I'm going to be actively on my knees before the Father on your behalf, asking God to make sense out of what you know here so you can know it here. So that the power and the influence of Christ can be within you. And being rooted like a tree going down deep in the soil, established like a building with a solid foundation. Oh, baby, does the church need that? The brother got up here and read from Ezekiel 47. I know who that's for. Everyone! I'm like, dude, you keep going, you're preaching my message. Because those next to the river, the trees are growing, they're producing stuff. The leaves are even healing leaves. Established, rooted like a church, rooted like a tree, established like a building in the love of Christ. Not just running through it once a week, but established in it. Established in the love of Christ. You're never going to be filled to the fullness of God if you run away from the love of Christ. That's the whole basis of this passage. I want you rooted in God's love. And then he goes on with this. To grasp how wide and long and high and the deep is the love of Christ. I want you to know that it's wide. Push the button. I want you to grasp. I want you to comprehend that it knows no boundaries. See, a brother or a sister has it in her head that God loves her or loves him, but there's something going on that they don't feel that love. Pray it from their heart to their, from their head to their heart. Let them be established in it. Let them start feeling it, that God really does love them. It's not just a head thing, but now it's a heart thing and a head thing, and things are going to start happening. I want you to know, he said, I want you to know that it knows no boundaries. I want you to know that it's long, it's everlasting. And I want you to know it's, it'll lift you to the highest peak. I want you to know that it's deep. I want you to know no matter what you're standing on in life, the love of Christ is under you. You might be standing in addiction and the love of Christ is still under you. You might be standing in brokenness, but you're still standing on the love of Christ. You know, Cheryl and I usually get to a Bills game once a year. Try to. Exhilarating. Wow, I like going to the stadium. The game is much smaller, but the experience is much bigger. Why? Because everybody's rooting for the same team. I think that's what the church should be. I go from Buffalo, I go to a Saturday evening service. For crying out loud, I'm in a service with a couple hundred people. I'm in. I've got like a Bills jersey on, baby. I'm 3 miles from the stadium. This is a billboard. Talk to this guy. He's a Bills fan. Nobody ever says anything to me. I was so angry when I got out to the truck. I'm confessing in front of you. I am so angry when I got out to my truck. And I didn't start. I just sit there with my hands on the steering wheel. And Cheryl said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going back in. She said, what are you going to do? I'm talking to the pastor. And I went back in. It didn't go over too well. The next day, I was at the Bills game. And before I sat down, I knew the names of 15 people around me. We are the church. And the church has the right to go before the Father. And we need to let each other know that no matter what you're up against, you're still standing on the love of Christ. And pray it in each other's lives. We will not be filled with the fullness of God without knowing the depth and the length and the width and the height of the love of Christ. Without standing in the love of Christ. Now verse 19. And to know that love that surpasses all knowledge. And to know, we know that know is there is an intimate knowledge. Adam knew Eve and she conceived. That's fairly intimate. It's the same know. The same thought. I want you to intimately know the love of Christ. What will happen? That you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. You want that? I got cards here. Flip the button. This is what the cards say. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to hand these out. And, hey, you can take two or three. What I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask you to put your name on it. Take a couple of them. And then this week, this is the altar call if you want an altar call. This is the altar call. Put your name on there. And it says this. It says, God, I pray that you would strengthen Ed in his inner being. Why? So that the Christ may power, influence, and guide him from within. I'll let you get it. I printed 75. I wasn't sure how many was going to be here. So feel free. I don't know if there's 75 here or not, but feel free to take a couple if you want them. Why? Because you're going to ask somebody to pray this for you this week. You got it? You want it? Ask somebody to pray it for you. Write your name in it. You don't have to do that now. You can think about this. Listen, I don't want you to just jump on a wagon just for it's a good thing to do. But I'm saying, when you come to church, you might have an inkling to do something that the enemy's going to try to steal from you when you leave here. If God's leading you to do it now, do it. And I pray, God, I pray, this is how I would read mine. God, I pray that you would strengthen Ed in his inner being so that Christ may power, influence, and guide him from within. So that Ed can grasp and know that the love of Christ knows no boundary. It's everlasting. It lifts up. It is deeper than any hole he is in. So that Ed can be filled with all the fullness of God. Put your name in that. Circle he or she. Ask God, who do you want me to ask to pray this for me? Because I want the fullness of God. Can I pray for us? Father, there is no doubt in my mind. Zero doubt in my mind. That you wanted me to bring this message to Shepherd's Heart. Father, I have prayed over this message. I have labored over this message for quite a while now. I have delivered it. And Father, now in the hands of Shepherd's Heart, is the request to pray for me because I want to be filled with the fullness of God. And Father, I pray that as they write their names in over the next day or two or an hour or 4 minutes, God, that you would lead them to the person that will be faithful to use their access to you on their behalf. I pray that you would lead them to those that would be faithful to bring them before the throne room of God and seek you on their behalf, so that shepherd's heart, one by one by one by one, are filled with the fullness of God. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Remember the bracelets, WWJD? That was the wrong question. It's not what would Jesus do. What is Jesus doing?
Amen.
What is Jesus doing right now? Someone said it. Praying. He's making intercession for us. If we are Christ-like, that's this message tonight, what should we be doing? What Jesus is doing. Praying for us. Ed, thank you. That's what the body of Christ is doing around the world. We get to attend a 4-hour intercession meeting on Saturday morning, the 20th of January, or February, for the nation of Vietnam. They were passionate. I don't know what we'd do for 4 hours on a Saturday morning, but they were passionate. What is Jesus doing? You're his ambassador. You should be doing what the King is doing. Praying that we all would be so full, we'd leak, we'd overflow, and someone would have to take the lid off the crock pot. Speaking of crock pot, there is all kinds of food next door. I mean, there is a lot of food next door. Please stay in fellowship. Pray for someone. Bless them. Bless their food. Have a meal. And pray for somebody this week. Carry them before the throne. The high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies without carrying the 12 tribes of Israel over his heart. The reason most of us don't have answered prayer is because we're going in for ourselves and we're not carrying someone else in before the throne. You want to see the Lord heal people through you? Start praying for people. You want to see the Lord raise the dead? Start praying for people. You want to see miracles happen? Start praying for others. And all of a sudden, you'll see Matthew 6:33 filled. Seek ye first all this stuff and the kingdom of God will come. Not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pray for other people to come into the kingdom. And then all that stuff that you need will just pour over you and through you. I love you all.